From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series on the subject of prayer. As the Lord Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He gave them the timeless words of the Lord's Prayer. The very opening words, Our Father, are a reminder of our relationship to God as His children. As Dr. Cairns will show, not everyone can call God Father, for the Bible declares that we are the children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, however, he takes a few minutes to speak of the blessed hope of the believer, the second coming of Christ.
I'm sure you know the old saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Well, that's certainly true of Christians awaiting the second coming of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I know that it is popular in the world today to put all references to the second coming of Christ down to the fanaticism of those people who have really brought the scriptures into disrepute by their fantastic theories about end-time prophecy. I'm not getting into the subject of end-time prophecy just at the moment, but you know those people who are forever getting on television or on radio or making millions out of gullible people by the books and the videos they turn out. They practically tell you the date. In fact, some of them have actually tried to tell you the date of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one thing you'll find from all the theories that have been given, all the Hal Lindsey books, all these things that have set out to tell people the details, you'll find one thing is true. Every prediction they have made thus far has been false. Every date they have set has come and gone, and it has been false. Now, this, as I say, tends to bring the whole subject of Bible prophecy into disrepute. And that plays right into the devil's hands, because there's nothing disreputable about Bible prophecy. The Bible does tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Jesus said, I will come again. At his ascension, the angel promised, this same Jesus shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him go. Paul told the Thessalonian Christians, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope, because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And then he gives this glorious promise about the events at what he calls in 1 Corinthians 15, the last trump. And he says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again literally, personally, and he's coming again gloriously. This same Jesus. Now, to some people, that's a scary thought. The thought of Christ coming in the clouds, the thought of his coming and their not being ready for it, is something that instills fear into them. But to the people of God, this is glorious news. The one who's coming is the very same Jesus who loved them enough as to die for them. It's the very same Jesus who rose again and destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light. It is the very same Jesus who has been interceding for them, who has been keeping them and blessing them all these years. This same Jesus is coming again. So when he comes, the dead saints will rise, bodies and souls reunited. The living saints will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Old time preachers used to ask the question, will you be caught up or caught out? I trust today that the truth that Jesus is coming again will thrill your heart. And if you're not ready to meet him, that today you'll realize he is coming, and it is time that you were ready. It is time that you came to bow the knee and embrace him as personal Lord and Savior, and then join the chorus of the people of God, even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Love divine so great and wondrous, even mighty pure sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through tests of time. He the
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
What is the lust of the devil? You may say, well, that speaks of adultery, fornication, murder, bestiality, perversion, all of it. Yes, it does include those things. But those are only the fruits of the root. What is the root lust of the devil? The root lust of the devil is to remove God from the absolute sovereignty of His throne. When He said, I will be as God, that was the devil's lust. That was the lust he injected into humanity when he tempted Eve in the garden and said, you will be as gods. That is the fundamental lust that lies in the heart of every child of the devil. He may acknowledge God is. Certainly Satan does. If the devil can get a fool big enough to believe the lie, there is no God, he'll tell him the lie to damn him. But that's not the lie with which he damns his millions. He tells him, oh yes, God is. I acknowledge God is. The devil usually doesn't even argue that point. And for himself, he believes everything this Bible says about God, except that it's irreversibly true, because there is the lust in his heart that he may himself replace God. In other words, God can exist as long as he exists alongside of me. God can exist as long as he accepts me on my terms. That's the lust of the devil. And that's the fundamental lust of the human heart. Jesus says, the lust of your father you will do. You may never have committed adultery or theft or perjury or any of these great crimes that men can recognize as being so openly unclean. But with the basic lust of Satan in your heart, unwilling to have God on his terms, but trying to force the Almighty to have you on your terms, that betrays your spiritual parentage. Jesus says, sinners are not the children of God. Scripture goes a step further, and it shows us clearly that God is Father only to those to whom He is Redeemer. Dr. Barrett was reading this morning in Isaiah 63. The verse 16 contains this, Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. God is spiritually a Father only to those to whom He is a Redeemer. That's why John 1, verse 12 tells us, as many as received Christ, that is Christ as Savior, Lord, and Redeemer, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. It's why John also wrote in that beautiful section of his first epistle, chapter 3 and verse 1, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. What does he mean? Now are we the sons of God. He means now that we're redeemed. Now that we're in Christ. Now that we're covered by the blood of his atonement. Now that we have received him by faith. Isn't this what we were reading this morning in Galatians chapter 4? There came a time when God sent forth His Son into the world. Why did He send Him? He sent Him to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Notice, He sent Him to redeem. And all whom He redeems receive the adoption of sons. As we read in Galatians 3 this morning, you are all the children of God. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. Spiritually, there are two great families in the world today. The children of the devil. Genesis 3, the seed of the serpent. My, that's a terrible, terrible description. The children of God. We're not describing denominations. We're describing the ultimate spiritual division of humanity as delineated by God Almighty. He says there are the children of the devil and there are the children of God. Can I ask you this morning where you fit in? Thank God it is possible to pass from being a child of the devil to being a child of God. And it's impossible to pass from ever being a child of God to being the child of the devil. How do you pass from being a child of the devil to being a child of God? By faith in Jesus Christ. Redemption. It speaks of the mighty act of God in interposing the precious blood of Jesus Christ to deliver men and women and boys and girls from the power and the thraldom of Satan, from the awful family bond that would bind them in their depravity, breaking the chains of their sin, setting them free and bringing them into a right relationship with God, whereby they can honestly cry, "Our Father." That's grace. That's salvation. That's what God has done for countless millions. And He'll do for millions more. That's what He's done for many who sit in this meeting this morning. That's what He can do for you. I would say to you to take this very seriously. Because I remember years ago thinking, as I was preparing a message, which in fact I think I preached in Sharon Drive way back in 1978 when I first visited Greenville, on the subject to be a Christian. As I looked at it, you know, the word Christian, just as child of God, it's so misused. People are Christians because they're born in a Christian nation. There's really no such thing, you know. I would to God there was. The Puritans felt that they had come as close to it as you ever could in the Cromwellian period in England and in the period of the Pilgrims and the first Puritans in America. But a glance at history will show you how far from being truly Christian those nations were, and I think those were morally their best days. So to think you're a Christian because you're born in a Christian country is a fallacy. But then I've been born in a Christian home. Thank God there is such a thing as a Christian home. And I believe Christian parents may and should plead the promises of God and labor within them to see their children saved. But if they think they're saved because they're born in a Christian home, they're fools. Not saved, you're not a child of God because you're a child of godly parents. People use these terms so loosely. Let me tell you, it's tragically possible to be in what you think is a Christian country, born in a Christian home, sitting every Sabbath day, raised through Sunday school, young people's work and church in a Christian church, and perish in the outer darkness of a lost eternity. Why? Because there's only one way to have God as your Father. Only one. Only one way to enter into the intimacy and the reality of this relationship with God. And that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can really begin to pray with honesty, Our Father. I stand in the most intimate possible relationship with God. When we pray, Our Father, we are therefore saying, Lord, we are thine by redemption. Yes, we are God's creatures, but we were rebellious creatures, lost creatures, sinful creatures, creatures excluded from the glory of thy presence and the joy of knowing thee, children of the devil in every spiritual and moral sense, but now we have been redeemed by precious blood, set free by sovereign grace. We are thine by redemption. We stand reconciled unto thee by the cross of Jesus Christ, and we approach thy throne clothed in the merits of thine own dear Son. Thou art our Father. We are thy children. Thou hast begotten us, as Peter tells us. He has begotten us again to a living hope. As James tells us, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Thou hast brought us to a new birth. Thou hast made us new creatures. Thou hast indeed, as 2 Peter 1:4 tells us, made us partakers of the divine nature. I'm going to make a confession to you. I really don't know what those words mean. I'm afraid, to be quite honest, even to try to describe what they mean, in case in my folly and stupidity I say that which would be unworthy of God. All I can say is, here is something, and I have read what the commentators say on it and all the rest of it, but they're as ignorant as I am on this matter. What does it mean to be a partaker of the divine nature? What does it mean? It means vastly more than I can ever say. It does not mean I become God. I become some way part of God, that some sort of crazy pantheistic notion. That's not the meaning. But there is a communication from God to me and to every other believer in Jesus Christ. A communication of grace, of virtue, of that which transforms our very inmost being.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.